We have now come to the end of 3 days of readings from and singing about the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ. We heard from St. Matthew how Jesus was stripped of his garments and dignity in front of a battalion of Roman soldiers, mocked as King of the Jews, beaten, spit upon, and the shameful treatment continued as he was crucified, as he was derided and mocked by those who passed by, as well as the chief priests. In recent months, we have also seen some shameful things, the shameful deeds of many contemporary public figures have been exposed, celebrities in the entertainment world, athletes, politicians, and even Roman Catholic priests. Unlike Jesus, these people have been responsible for bringing shame upon themselves. And so what do they do about it? Well, what's natural? They first deny it, hoping it'll go away. Then they enter rehab, and while they're doing that, they call in the specialists in public relations and damage control to manage the press, help craft the just appropriate apology, and then they try to figure out how long they have to hunker down before the fickle public is ready to welcome them back. Jesus had no shame control strategist to manage his public disgrace. What unbelievable courage and humility of that lamb who uncomplainingly took the abuse straight on. And to make matters even worse, Jesus was innocent the whole time. Pilate knew it and confessed the same. The public shame and humiliation of Jesus' experience from Jews and Gentiles is hard to imagine. Nevertheless, all the shame and all the ridicule he endured on that heartbreaking day pales in comparison to the fact that when he was lifted up on that cross, he bore the sin and the shame of the entire world. Every sin you and I ever committed in thought or deed, every sin we have tried to keep buried from others or buried from ourselves, is fully exposed in frightful and embarrassing detail, not on Fox, not on CNN, but before God himself. Jesus took them all into himself as his own. Our shame and our sin then died with Jesus and were buried with him in the tomb, along with his dead body. We don't need a public relations expert to tidy our reputations up a bit, to show us how to manage the consequences of the mess we make in life. What we need to do is die. Die with Christ. And this we did when we were baptized, and this we continue to do every day through contrition and repentance. The shameful treatment and physical abuse of our Lord is difficult, but not impossible, not completely impossible to imagine. I mean, inhuman acts of cruelty remain common occurrences well into the 21st century. We see it all the time. But what is far more difficult, if maybe not altogether impossible to understand, to really understand, is what did it mean for Jesus to be forsaken by his heavenly Father? I really don't know how to explain that. Every generation has experienced something like it, whether as individuals or communities or families. We've experienced incredible tragedy and suffering and death that leaves people alone, disoriented, and feeling as if God has forsaken us. So we cry out. You hear it all the times at times like these. Why? Why, God? Well, the answer to these questions of why can only be found in one place, the great why, cried out by our Lord on the cross. Interestingly, but in Matthew's account of our Lord's crucifixion, the only words he records Jesus saying are, my God, why? Why have you forsaken me? And with these words, our Lord took all of our sin, our shame, our despair, and our hopelessness into himself. And as a result, he tasted the utter separation from God. It literally was hell on that cross. And yet Jesus didn't despair. How is this possible? I don't know. He found the words. He found the words to express his trust in God. And you know where he found them? He found them in the church's song, in Psalm 22. And although he cried out in deep anguish, by uttering the opening verse of Psalm 22, in effect, he sings. He sings with David and the faithful congregation of Israel down through the centuries, on whose praises the Holy One is enthroned. In fact, as the last verse of the psalm makes clear, this congregation includes all who are yet unborn. It includes us. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning? Oh, my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night I find no rest. Yet. It's always the yet. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. In you our fathers trusted. They trusted, and you delivered them. To you they cried and were rescued. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. All who see me mock me. They make mouths at me, wag their heads. He trusts in the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, for he delights in him. They have pierced my hands and feet. They divide my garments among them. They cast for my clothing. They cast lots. But you, O Lord, do not be far off. O you, my help, come quickly to my aid. And as the psalm continues, he does, and ends in this grand building worship and praise. The afflicted shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever. All the prosperous of the earth eat and worship. Before him shall bow down all who go to the dust. That was the full meaning of his last words. During the 40 days of his temptation in the wilderness, Jesus overcame the devil with the word of God. And in his final great and dreadful struggle, Jesus' last words came from the church's hymnal, from the Psalms. And so during Lent and Holy Week, we don't only ponder the meaning of Christ's passion, we sing it. And when we sing the Psalms, we sing with Jesus, who sang and prayed them perfectly for us. And when we sing the Psalms and the great hymns of the church, we find ourselves both singing to Jesus and with Jesus. And then, in doing this, the meaning of his suffering and death becomes clear. And when that becomes clear, the meaning of our suffering and death becomes clear. His suffering was punishment for our sins, through which he made atonement, leaving us righteous and shameless before God forever. Be thou my consolation, my shield when I must die. Remind me of thy passion when my last hour draws nigh. Mine eyes shall then behold thee, upon thy cross shall dwell. My heart by faith enfold thee. Who dieth thus, dieth well. In the name of Jesus.